Folks, the Lord is on His throne. He's high and lifted up. And when it's all said and done, only what we do for Christ is going to last. I'm thankful for a people that believe in the biblical plan that is set forth so clearly in the Scriptures. And I believe you people here, a good part of you are here with burning hearts. You see a nation on fire. You see a church that is in trouble with its back against the wall. You see liberals and modernists making havoc of the Lord's church. You see limp-wristed, pink-pantyhose preachers tiptoeing down the road, dividing the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ and bringing havoc to people that stand for New Testament Christianity. I hope that we can maintain our wonderful buildings, but brace yourselves. Those of you that are strong in the faith, pray, read the Bible. Prepare yourselves to go out beside the river if you have to someday to meet around the table. Prepare yourselves to meet in barns and houses. I'm telling you, the fire is sweeping across our great land and there's danger, but there's hope in our wonderful Lord and our wonderful Savior Jesus Christ. Now, Pete, there's a little bit more of this stuff that you didn't move. We're going to have to get rid of here. I'll move it up just a little bit for me to get around because I don't want them to charge me for all of this stuff. It's been, several months ago, I guess about a year ago, I was contacted by the Westside Christian Church in Liberty, Kentucky to come and help them celebrate the 50th anniversary of the church. And the day that they celebrated their 50th anniversary was going to be the same day that Jonathan and I were going to celebrate our 51st anniversary. My mind went back to the early history of that church. As I was going to Cincinnati Bible Seminary, I was called back to Jamestown, Kentucky, where I was serving as a student minister. There was some kind of a problem there, probably a death. It's been so long ago, I've forgotten. And I saw that I wasn't going to be able to make it down to Jamestown, Kentucky for the prayer services. And I knew there was a Christian church in Casey County there in Liberty, Kentucky, right beside Route 127, and I went in. And when I went into prayer meeting there, I found out that I was in a nest of liberals. I was in the midst of a church that was about to be destroyed by limp-wristed modernists. I found out that people that did not believe in the principles of New Testament Christianity were rapidly gaining control of that church. Later on, there was an upheaval, and through lying and conniving, there was a terrible situation, and they tricked the people into voting into a loyal National Council of Churches constitution, and they got 90-some to vote for them, and 30-some voted to keep the church like it was, and so the 30-some had to leave, and the Supreme Court man that was known as Morris Montgomery said there were 90 Christians, and 90 Christians and 30 idiots. And those 30 idiots, as it were, went out and organized the Westside Christian Church. It was a terrible thing. But I was getting my feet wet knowing that something was happening that I was going to have to face all of my life. I was going to have to deal with liberals. I was going to have to deal with modernists. I was going to have to face off with college professors. One thing that I was taught when I was born and raised and grew up at the Ocean View Church of Christ, it was that I wasn't supposed to just take anybody's word for it. If it wasn't in the Bible, I wasn't going to believe it. And so I came off of a tractor seat, and I wasn't in the mood for a college professor or anyone else to try to tell me something and try to push something down my throat that wasn't found on the pages of the Word of God. And I'm thankful for the Ocean View Church for teaching me that. And I realized as we went there to this congregation, a little bit later, the Westside Christian Church, they called us. They had started, they had had a few services, we met with them for a while, and Morris Montgomery of the Supreme Court of the state of Kentucky said there were 90 Christians and 30 idiots. And I was called in there to preach for those so-called 30 idiots who took a stand for New Testament Christianity. I'm about to run dry here. I want you folks to see something here. All right, looky there. Looky there. You see that? Isn't that something? Tom, can you do that? Now just go back down there and sit down and be quiet. Folks, that's going to cost me. That is going to cost me. All right. Now, as I think about that situation, I see that something was developing that was going to lead me through my entire ministry. I was going to be on a frontline battle relationship against liberalism and modernism and compromise. And I was invited, after 50 years, after we'd preached for a period of time for the church that was kicked out by the disciples, kicked out by the National Council of Churches, I was invited back for a 50th year anniversary. And I want to just share a few thoughts with you that I want to call We Still Believe. Let me go to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. The Apostle Paul is in prison for preaching New Testament Christianity. He was in prison for preaching what all preachers need to preach today, but there are so many limp-wristed compromisers today that some of the congregations you barely can recognize that they're members of the New Testament church. It's time for us to have a bear-down emphasis on the plan of salvation. It's time for our preachers to start preaching the plan of salvation in all of their services. It's time to emphasize non-denominational biblical Christianity. Oh, we can exegete verbs and we can exegete nouns and we need to do all the exegeting, but we're losing the powerful emphasis on one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And bless your heart, that's what we need. That's what the church movement was based on here in the early days on the Delmarva Peninsula. That's what our bread and butter was. We're going to have to stand and return to, in many areas, the position of simply speaking where the Scripture speaks and being silent where the Scriptures are silent. But as I look here at the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul is in, this pulpit is hard up here. The Bible says Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now dropping on over here to verse 12. But I would that ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Hard times had come down upon this straight-shooting, one Lord, one faith, one baptism preacher. He was not a Protestant preacher. Thank God there was not Protestantism back there, and would to God there wasn't Protestantism today. It wasn't a Roman Catholic message. There were no Roman Catholics then. Would to God there was no Roman Catholicism and Protestantism today. There was no denominationalism back there. They had enough trouble without it. But this was simply the Apostle Paul trying to get the church to walk the line. And that's where we stand. Everybody can be challenged to the position of coming out of denominationalism, not be a Protestant, not be a Catholic. Love everybody. Love everybody. But encourage people to unite with us as we try to restore the one Lord, one faith, one baptism that we find here on the pages of the Word of God. If you're with me tonight, say amen. Amen. Now the Bible says here, but I would that ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. My, the Apostle Paul turned the world upside down when he preached there in the prison at Philippi. And now here he is, facing bonds and incarcerated and having an opportunity to preach here in this critical situation. And he's pointing out that his bonds were made known in the palace and it had worked out for the goodness and for the glory of God. The Bible says, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. For indeed, listen, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. And I'm thankful for a man like the Apostle Paul that would be set for the defense of the everlasting gospel. I know that there are men here that are set for the defense of the gospel. There are evangelists here that are set for the defense of the gospel. We're not in a limp-wristed, mealy-mouthed, tippy-toe type of a situation. It's no time for sissies. It's time for men. It's time for women. It's time for us to stand up on our hind legs and be what God would have us to be. It's time to quit compromising on the principles of the gospel. It's time to simply take the Bible only and be Christians only and get back to the vision of preaching the plea of New Testament Christianity, calling people out of the mass and mess of confusion back to simple, basic, biblical New Testament Christianity. As I look at this, we find, go ahead and clap for Bible-believing preachers around the country while I get a drink of water. All right, now you can stop and clap for them again after a while when I run dry. Now, as I look at this subject, we still believe the gospel. The Bible is the Word of God. It's the absolute inspired Word of the living God. And as we come here tonight, we still believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Now, not only do we believe the Bible is the Word of God, we wouldn't give 10 cents for anything else by way of religious doctrine. There's no religious doctrine in the world except the Bible that is inspired. Nothing any pastor's ever said is inspired. Nothing that any pope has ever said is inspired. Nothing that any preacher or deacon's ever said that is inspired. The only inspired book is this book which we have right here, the Bible, the Word of God. One of our themes used to be no creed but Christ and no book but the Bible. We need to get back to that and get rid of some of this little lip-wristed stuff and this little tippy-toe preaching that we have coming out of our institutions. We need preachers with backbone and courage to stand up on their hind legs and with love and compassion draw people back to one church, one body, one kingdom, one baptism, back to the kind of Christianity that's described here on the pages of the Word of Almighty God. And I say, thank God for you that are standing for our New Testament Christianity. As I think about these great principles, I'm thankful for the Bible, which is the everlasting Word of God. That's where we stand, folks. No creed but Christ and no book but the Bible. We just believe that the Bible and the Bible alone will make Christians and Christians alone. If you take the Bible only, you'll not become a Protestant or a Catholic. We love Protestants. We love Catholics. We love everybody. We're not in the business of knocking anybody except the devil. And the devil is the one that brought division, and the devil is the one that brought confusion. And Paul never preached Protestantism. He never preached Catholicism. He never preached denominationalism. He never preached any other kind of ism. All he preached was New Testament Christianity, and we stand on that principle of restoring New Testament Christianity. This is serious business, and America at this critical crossroads needs people, needs preachers, needs evangelists, needs families that will stand on these principles and not compromise and bring this people back and this nation back to the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ as they're found on the pages of the Word of the Living God. As I look at this subject, I'm thankful for the Bible, which is the Word of God. I'm thankful for Jesus, the only Savior of the world. My mind goes back to South Central Kentucky when I was approached by the elders from the Jamestown Christian Church in Jamestown, Kentucky. I was a student at Cincinnati Bible Seminary, a graduate student, and I'd gotten into the altercations with some of them there already. There was some liberalism even starting to creep in there, although it was basically conservative in those days. I don't know about today. And some elders from the Jamestown Christian Church went up to Cincinnati to try to find a preacher. And Woodrow Perry, the president, introduced them to yours truly. I went down there and preached and ended up doing a lot of preaching down there in South Central Kentucky. And I found out that many who at one time were strong in the faith were backing off. I found out that many churches that at one time were strong New Testament churches were going soft. I found out that they were going liberal. And I was taught at Ocean View Church of Christ in Ocean View, Delaware, to preach the Bible and to stand on the Word of God. M.S. Kitchen up there in New Jersey taught us to stand on the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And I found out that I was in a situation where strong Bible doctrine needed to be preached. And I'm thankful for the opportunity of preaching there when we were at Jamestown. And then as we scattered out through that area preaching revivals, before it was over with, the Lord blessed us in preaching revivals across Kentucky, across state lines, across the Mississippi River, and almost heading out towards the Pacific coast, but we came back to work in organizing new churches here on the Delmarva Peninsula. And I love these churches here on Delmarva. Dave loves these churches. You people love these churches. These churches were they were founded on the position of one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. They weren't founded on the position of compromise. They weren't founded on the position of entertainment. Paul said, I am set for the defense of the gospel, and the gospel needed defending back in that day, and it needs defending today. The plan of salvation needs defending. The one church needs to be defended. Meeting around the Lord's table on the Lord's day is necessary for us to defend that position. The Lord's Supper is being moved to the back and moved out. But boy, they don't move a praise band anywhere but up front. Now, there's nothing with a little bit of praise, but I want to tell you something. It can't compare with the Lord's Supper. It can't compare with one Lord, one faith, one baptism. It can't compare with the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so here we have a situation where the Lord Jesus Christ was calling on these people to stand firm on the teachings of the Word of Almighty God. Then, coming home from Cincinnati down to Jamestown, Kentucky, where I was preaching, I stopped into the First Christian Church there in Liberty, Kentucky, to worship. I didn't have time to get on down to Jamestown, and I thought I'd worship there. And that was before I was married. I was a free man back there. Stopped in there, went in there to worship them, and my liberalism had started to take over. And I didn't know those people. I didn't realize some of them in there would be some of my greatest friends in later lives, and even until most of them died off. And I remember one of the teachers there stood up and he said something off of the wall. And there was a Christian woman over there that I didn't know that said, is there any scripture for that? And then there was some kind of a discussion. He said, that's in the apocryphal books. Well, my friends, the apocryphal books are not inspired. Matthew's what's inspired. Mark, Luke, and John's what's inspired. Acts is what's inspired. And I found out that there was a problem there and never realized that just a few short years after that, we would be called in there to serve that congregation who took a stand, and they took a stand against denominationalism, against the National Council of Churches. They were kicked out the front door by a lying, crooked program of a so-called Constitution, and that Constitution relegated them out, took away their property, and they had to start all over again. And that's where I got introduced to those wonderful, wonderful people. They met for about a year, built them a basement, and we had an opportunity to hold a revival meeting for the Glens Fork Christian Church in Adair County, Kentucky. There's about 900 New Testament churches of the Brotherhood, so-called, in the state of Kentucky at that time. And I was invited to preach for that church there at Liberty, Kentucky, and had an opportunity to start holding revivals around in that general area. And I started getting my eyes open as to what was going on. I was invited to the Glens Fork Christian Church for a revival meeting there in Adair County between Columbia, Kentucky, and Wolf Creek Dam. When I went in there, I was with Joe Bob Grider, a strong Bible preacher, and we had a good revival, but they kept from me that they had given up simply being a New Testament church 100%, and they started compromising with denominationalism, and they started having union services. I didn't realize that they were having union services, some Sundays with the Nazarene, and some Sundays with the Methodists, and we love Nazarenes, we love Methodists, we love them all. But we're standing on biblical New Testament Christianity, and I found out after the revival was over that though they put on a good front when I was there, that they were as liberal as they could possibly be. They were compromising the principles of New Testament Christianity, and they made the mistake of inviting us back the next year for a revival, and I had found out what was going on. By that time, Joe Bob Grider had left, taken another church, so I had to go in there by myself
to preach New Testament Christianity. And I ran back and started preaching one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. All kinds of fancy theology will not take the place of old-fashioned preaching of one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. We can conjugate verbs and we can do all of this to adjectives, but the people need the basics. They need to understand that there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body, one church. And the churches had gotten away from that. Liberal evangelists had gone across that part of the state of Kentucky preaching liberalism and modernism, had gotten away from the principles of New Testament Christianity. And here I was, a Delaware boy, right in the middle of that situation. And I had a chance to bear down there on the Glens Fork Christian Church in Adair County, Kentucky. Challenge them to try to stand firm in one Lord and one faith and one baptism. There's no preacher there. They had no evangelist. I was the guest preacher. I was the only preacher that was there. One man stood up that had evidently participated in the compromise. He listened for a while and he walked away. And after the service, they invited me down to the basement. By that time, they'd built a new building. It was a beautiful brick building. It had Christian Church written up there on the cornerstone. And it gave the year. And they had a fine basement. And when we went down into the basement with those men, they had me pinned right back to the wall. They had a window there that I knew I couldn't get out of. But I knew the Lord was going to take care of me. And when those men sat down there, the man sitting next to me had a big chew of tobacco. He ended up, a man by the name of Elmore, being one of my best friends. We got down there, and as we got set, I said, "Men," I said, and I thought I just might as well spill it and get it all said to start with. And if they were going to kill me, they were going to kill me. By the grace of God, I could have gone on to be with the Lord. I said, "Men, you either ought to become a New Testament church or go out there and chisel off where it says Christian Church and put Union Church there." There was a little silence for a period of time. A man that evidently had a chew of tobacco on one side of his mouth. I forgot whether it was his left or his right, Tom. He said, "Let's vote on it on the next first Sunday." You see, they were having services in connection with the denominations. They were having union services, the Christian Church, the Church of Christ, with the denominations. And they weren't even having the Lord's Supper every single Lord's Day. And I told them, "You either need to be a New Testament church." And I looked them in the eye and I said, "Either that or go out there and chisel off where it says Christian Church and be a union church." One man said, "We know that's what we ought to do, but how are we going to do it?" Another man said, "We live with these people, and we've got to get along with these people." And then my friend, Brother Elmore, sitting right next to me, the one that had that chaw tobacco, he said, "Let's vote on it on the next third Sunday." Well, I didn't know whether they were going to vote on it or not. It evidently came to a head, and I went for a revival meeting in the county seat town of Taylor County, and a delegation came from the Glens Fork Christian Church, and they called me over there and they said, "Brother Bennett, you'll be glad to know that we have voted to come out of union services. We voted to come out of it." In other words, to come out of a situation where the Methodists and the Baptists and the Church of Christ all met together having a Sunday school and they used interchangeably teachers and they weren't preaching strong New Testament Christianity. And Georgia Johnson was the man that announced to me that they had decided that they were going to take this position. The church grew. They started serving the Lord's Supper every Lord's Day. But that was something that was going to sort of be a indication of our ministry in situations where people wanted to compromise and wanted to go soft on the doctrine, soft on the plan of salvation, soft on the name. And that's why when we came back to organized churches on Delmarva, we preached heaven high, hell deep, worldwide, shotgun brow straight, trying to get people to be non-compromisingly Bible Christians and Christians only, having no creed but Christ and no book but the Bible. That's where this movement came from. And I say, praise God for how good Almighty God is. And then I was called to preach at Liberty, Kentucky. And they're the ones that had been kicked out of House and Home by the Liberal Disciples organization. The United Christian Missionary Society had kicked them out, and Morris Montgomery of the Supreme Court of the state of Kentucky, who was one of the members of the old Liberty Christian Church. He said 90 Christians and 30 idiots. And about a year later, I had a chance to go and be the evangelist for those 30 idiots. But they had to take a lot of heat because of the stand which they took. But these liberals took the property. These liberals took over all of that valuable situation which we had there. Friends, you just can't turn your back on liberalism. You can't turn your back on modernism. You just can't say, I think it's going to go away. And those of you that are strong in one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, I want to encourage you to stick with it. Stick with it. Stick with it. Don't compromise. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body, one church. Preach it in love. But there are people out there that need to hear the message of no creed but Christ and no book but the Bible. Then, as we went in there to Liberty, Kentucky, we served those dear people that had been kicked out of house and home. Had an opportunity to go back down there not too long ago and preach for them. Some of the old timers are dead. And friends, some of the old war horses are dead. Some of the old war horses that wouldn't compromise. Some of the old war horses that believed in one Lord, one faith, and one baptism are dead. And now there's a new generation that has come along. Now are we going to tippy-toe as a new generation down the pike? Are we just going to skip along? Are we going to have enough backbone to stand up on our hind legs and preach the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth? There is still no creed but Christ. There's still no book but the Bible. There's still one Lord. There's still one faith. There's still one baptism. And may the Lord give us preachers that will preach that message, because the hour is late. And what America needs more than a president or a vice president or evangelists and Christians that will stand on their hind legs and preach New Testament Christianity without compromise. Then, as I think about these wonderful opportunities which we have, we stand on no book but the Bible. We stand on no creed but Christ. We do not stand for creeds and catechisms. We just stand on the Bible. On the biblical plan of salvation, that's where we stand. We stand on one Lord, we stand on one faith, we stand on one baptism. And some of these old sayings are going by the wayside, and the people are going by the wayside. Some of these churches are so limp-wristed in their doctrinal position, you can't hardly recognize that they're New Testament churches. They've gone so liberal and they've gone so modern, they've even started having deaconesses go up and down the aisle on Sunday, passing out the Lord's Supper. My friends, if they don't want their prayers to be hindered, those women need to be seated there in subjection by their husbands. And these elders and these deacons and these evangelists need to do what God has ordained them to do. A lot of times when these women take over, and when they come in and they try to pass out the communion, they try to do this and that, it's because there's too many sorry men that won't do the job. And I'm not picking on the women. Thank God for the women. But what about you men? Do you have any backbone? Do you have any courage? Do you believe in one Lord, one faith, and one baptism? Are you a bunch of limp-wristed wimps? Are you a bunch of limp-wristed compromisers? Or are you strong? Do you have enough semen in your backbone to stand up without compromise and stand for New Testament Christianity? No creed but Christ. No book but the Bible. Folks, I'm older than I've ever been before. Uglier than I've ever been before. But I tell you what. I believe in the old-time religion, provided it goes back to the Bible. I believe it more today than I have ever, ever believed it. I believe in one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. I believe in one church. And I believe the church ought to be the church. The church ought not to compromise the doctrine. The church ought not to compromise the Bible plan of salvation. And the church ought not to take its members off to denominational organizations where they're going to hear false doctrine. And I think the elders, the deacons, need to put a stop to that. Not too long ago, there was an organization that was known as the Promise Keepers. And my friends, it might be called Promise Keepers, but they weren't obeying God's promises. It was just trying to keep family promises. But when we make a promise to God, we're promising Him we're going to preach His Word. We're not going to compromise His Word. And the promise keepers was a large group of people, and everybody felt good, everybody felt happy, and they went there, and just because there was a big crowd, they thought it's got to be good. But it was dangerous right down and rotten right down to the core, because it was sectarian, denominational, that which we came out of, and our people were participating in that, and we had to battle that to make our people stand independent and free to take the Bible only and be Christians only. And then there's the women's organization. There's a women's organization that some of the women have been going to. That's a denominational organization that is headed up by men like Charles Stanley and denominational preachers that wouldn't recognize the Bible plan of salvation if they saw it coming down the road with their hat on. I believe it might be called women of faith. I don't know what kind of faith it is, but it's not the faith I read about in the Bible. It's a compromising faith. The Women of Faith organization is a compromising faith. It's not one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And so stay away from the so-called women of faith and stick with women that do have faith. Get away from organizations like the Promise Keepers. Let the church be the church. Let the church stand on the principles of God. Let the church non-compromisingly stand for the truth. Don't be like a dog barking after everything going down the road. Stand firm on the Word of God. Say amen if you're with me tonight. I remember when I was, I'm going to have to close here. When I was just a young boy, about 75 years ago, a neighbor down the road had a dog. A German police dog, Dave, right across from our grandparents. And every time a truck would go by, that dog, I mean, woo! If it was a milk truck, you know, some of our people remind me of that. Promise keepers, I could run better when I was younger. And then there's the women of faith, God forbid. And a lot of people are going to that. My friends, listen. We're sounding a warning here. Stay away from the so-called women of faith. Stay away from the promise keepers. Love everybody, but stand for New Testament Christianity. Stand for one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Let the church stand up on her hind legs and be what God would have her to be. Well, just got started, but I'm run out of time and I'm going to have to quit. Someone gave me a paper describing a situation in World War II. A United States bomber had been out on a bombing run, and it showed a picture of this bomber. The tail was almost shot off of it. Bullet holes riddled the fuselage in the side, and men were dead there in the gun turrets. And the navigation system had been shot out. And the pilot was trying to keep the plane in the air, but he was disoriented and going over Germany deeper and deeper into enemy territory. His compass was gone. Gyro was gone. Everything was gone. And as he went deeper and deeper and deeper into Germany, the Luftwaffe sent up an ace pilot to do the final word on that American bomber and shoot it down to the earth. When that German pilot saw the plane, the tail was almost shot off of it. The American plane had dead men lined up there, holes in the fuselage. The nose cone was almost shot off. The gyro was cut off. The compass was gone. And the German pilot flew around and flew alongside of that doomed plane. And as he did, he saw that that pilot was trying desperately to keep it in the air. He motioned for the American pilot to turn that bomber back towards the North Sea and back towards England, and rode on the wing of that stricken, nearly doomed bomber till it got on the right course back to its home base. The German pilot waved off and went back and told his superiors that the plane had been destroyed and it had crashed. Never said any more about it for years and years and years, and the American pilot made it back home. There was a reunion of pilots sometime after that over here in this country. And the two pilots met. The German Luftwaffe pilot said, "I couldn't bring myself to shoot you down." And they became friends. When the church is flying out in the wrong direction over enemy territory, God is telling us to turn around. He's telling us to not compromise one Lord, one faith, one baptism. He's telling us not to compromise the one church. He's telling us to stand firm on the Word of God. He's telling us to stand loyal to the one church and the one faith and the one baptism set forth on the pages of the Word of God. And as we close out tonight, we're going to sing one verse of "Just As I Am." If there's anybody here, maybe there's a visitor here from maybe denominational background. We came out of it, folks. We came out of it. And we're trying to do what God would have us to do. And if you just want to take the Bible only and be a Christian only, you can just come out of denominationalism and just be a Christian only. Thank God. And those of you that are Christians only, don't compromise the faith. Stand firm in the faith of the gospel. Shall we stand, please, and sing?